This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Sustainability is a buzzword that we often hear being attached to a lot of things in our lives lately. And it's not just a rhetoric, as we really have to start being conscious of the impact of our actions to our surroundings and the environment. Haris Rizwan realized that and decided that he too should play his part. So as a carpenter, he went from throwing away the extra timber that he had to upcycling them, reducing a lot of waste along the way. For Haris, or the Green Carpenter as he calls himself these days, it's a necessary change that he has to make to be accountable to this shared world of ours. I paid a visit to his workshop after one rainy day to see how he upcycles waste to manufacture furniture and other household items.
I'm Haris Rizwan. I'm also known as the Green Carpenter. So we manufacture green products and sustainable manufacturing. It's a family business. We have been in business for 25 years and currently I'm taking over the business. We started off as a furniture manufacturer for the government and school, and now we are a full-fledged interior company.
You call yourself Harif the Green Carpenter. So would you be able to share with us the journey that you went through to change your approach to a more sustainable one? So when did you realize that it's not sustainable to rely on only fresh timber and wood?
When I finished my study around 2008, I officially worked with the company. So I noticed there's a lot of waste being created in the industry and also in our facility. I feel that something needs to be done because nobody seems to be aware or doing something about it. So I started with our own manufacturing facility and also our service, because we also do a lot of interior work. So there's a lot of waste being created, like our pallets and the metals that is off cuts and all that. So we started to play around with the materials and the approach. Because of the third wave coffee culture, there's a trend for all these new cafes, new hipster cafes, to use this kind of material. So it gives the industry a boost. So now you see a lot of people doing it at the back of their house, at like whichever shop lots they have. They are doing all this recycled furniture because there is demand for it. And we are very happy to see that, because previously, like as we know, Malaysia, we face a lot of problem in terms of our waste. So we produce a lot of waste domestically and also because of industries. So this is one of the way that we can at least do something about it. Now, because it's a trend and everyone is doing it, now the waste itself, the pellet itself becomes valuable. So that is how we started. And then after we've dabbled in the industry for a while, we decided that we want to grow. And because we do a lot of this customized work, it's a bit hard to scale up. So we took a different approach. So we start doing ready-made products. So it's still an early stage where we are still doing low volume, but we are seeing the traction. And now we believe this is how we want to move from now on.
All right, so let's rewind a bit. You said that initially when you first joined the company, you saw that the way the company did its stuff back then was not sustainable, right? So what was your approach like back then? Did you decide to maybe first set things right in terms of how you guys work at that time? And then only think about, you know, producing something that is more environmentally friendly? Or did both ideas come at the same time?
I will give you a scenario on roughly how it started. We were making furniture for school at that time. We are still making, but not as much as before. So in a year, I might produce around 3,000 to 5,000 units, sets. So that is when I started to think, like, where does all this wood come from? How many trees do I have to cut for us to do this kind of thing? So it becomes more of a internal monologue or reflective. I don't want to be responsible to a lot of trees being cut down in a not sustainable way. So then the question is, what material then we should use? So that is where we started to dabble into different experiment for materials. It's a long process, so we start the approach by which is the cheapest way to change. So our waste, we have it since it's just there and we are doing work. So we started with that. And as time goes by, we are taking more approach of scaling. So we see that for recycled wood, that's slightly difficult to promote internationally because there's no certification. So that's why we took the PEFC certification, which is an Europe certificate that states that the wood that we use comes from a more sustainable source, meaning like if they cut, they will replant and they don't just cut all in one go, so they do like patch cutting and all that. So it's an international standard and the certification is known in at least the market that we are going into. So the idea is we will use this material to enter the international market, and when we have established ourselves better, then we want to see how we can leverage on the recycled wood material.
It's a family business that has been going on for like quite a while now. So I'm sure it must have been quite difficult to actually change how you approach things, right? So maybe you can help share some stories about how you managed to convince the upper management, your family members even, right? Or even your own workers to start, you know, thinking about this or start taking this more seriously.
I will give you a more global scenario. Currently, our main competitors in the world are mostly China. And now Vietnam is also coming up for furniture. And we, Malaysia, have always been competing with our costs. So now, with the rise of these two countries, we are slowly losing our edge. So now, if we don't change or we don't approach the market differently, we will obviously lose in the long run. So what we're trying to do is we are trying to merge two ideas. One is design and the other one is sustainability. So by moving into this niche, we cater to a specific needs of consumer. So we carve our market from the big market. So in this area, you have a lot of flexibility. Rather than just cutting costs. Now you can focus on how to make it long-lasting, how to make it more presentable, how to make it more agronomic. So the challenge is to show them. I mean, like, for them, the skeptic is like, can you make money of it? Like, will people buy? Will it be expensive? So each of these concerns, we tackle one by one. So the approach is, okay, will green product be expensive? If we use waste, it won't be. So that's one box tick. So we do that. And after several time doing that, you see that it actually makes sense. That's why our approach to the business is doing a holistic approach. So it's not just the product is green. The manufacturing is green. It uses less electricity. The workers are more healthier. Efficiency increase. So we want to tell people that sustainable is also efficiency, it's also cost saving, it's not just a hippie idea, it's actually the way to move forward. Because eventually you have to innovate, and the best way is to innovate through green, to use less material, to use better coating, for example, to make it more lasting. So by doing all this, you are solving a few problems at the same time. Like, for example, now we are solving the waste issue, but at the same time, you are solving a sustainable lifestyle issue.
Fantastic. Okay, so you said yourself that you are targeting a very niche market, right? The majority of the people out there might not necessarily care so much about using furniture that is made from sustainable materials, right? So is it as much as preaching to the choir as it is preaching to those who are not yet converted?
We want to make it more of a business decision rather than a CSR approach. We want to have the more ready market to buy our product first. That's why we push our product to Europe, US, Australia and Japan. Those are our market, because for us it seems like a niche, but there it's more of the mainstream market. And because our money is considered cheaper than these countries, so it seems like a better idea to push our product there. When we have already gotten the economies of scale and the Malaysia market is ready, then we will push it here. So that's why we've been working these past few years to sell overseas. But this year is the year where we start to do our local expansion. Like for example, we work with Buah Tangan in KL City Walk, where they are promoting locally made products and also culture. So now we have these distributors who like subscribe to our philosophy and also expose our product to their followers or their circle. And we are doing a lot of education, because for us, we believe that we should start with grassroots, because the younger kids are easier to talk to because they haven't gone through or being jaded by the process. For us, we believe that we need the other people buy in on the course. For example, if I were to do two tables, normally I need to cut a tree. So if I do 5,000 tables a year, so I need to cut like 2,500 trees. So one person can only save, like for example, 2,500 trees. But if 10 people are doing the same thing, it just makes sense. So it's not a one thing or one company vision. It needs to be in a lot more people. So that's why we believe that grassroots is the best way to advocate and to embed. So by the time when they grow up, it's already in there. So everything they do, they can, okay, how can we approach it slightly different?
What's their reaction so far, the grassroots, in terms of like learning from what you've been trying to advocate?
They love it. One of it is we are not trying to sell green. Like people don't buy things because it's green. People buy things because they look nice. They complement their lifestyle. It looks cool. So what we are doing is not selling green. We are selling design. We are selling solution. We're selling a lifestyle. We are also advocating for a philosophy. So people buy our stuff is not because of the product, but because of the philosophy. So this kind of idea seems like a complex idea, but for kids, they see it. Because for them, it's a simple idea. Oh, you see a waste, you can make it into something. You can either throw it or make it into something. So it's an easy for them. So that's why we are now moving more towards the younger generation.
That was Haris Rizwan, also known as the Green Carpenter. He advocates for upcycling and sustainability in his line of work of manufacturing furniture. Stay tuned, I'm Hanif Baharudin, and you're tuned in to I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharudin. The Green Carpenter Haris Rizwan joins us on this week's episode to share his efforts upcycling waste, creating cool, practical furniture and useful household items. Earlier, he recalled the journey that he went through to create a more holistic culture and philosophy that upholds sustainability. And changing the approach comes with its own sets of challenges. Take, for example, the kind of wood and timber that Haris uses. Is there a big difference in using a recycled timber compared to a fresh one?
There's some differences, but it's actually more on how you treat the waste or the wood before you use it. So if it's new timber, you can just, when it comes to you, you can just cut and just do your work there. But for recycled timber, you have to do a lot more work. Like for example, if you do pellets, then you have to remove the nails, and then you have to sort the sizes, and then you have to shape them into sizes. Then you have to treat them, and then you have to dry them, then you can use. So it's a slightly long way of making things. That's why a lot of companies are not willing to do that, because it gives them more work. But for us, we believe that this is the way to move forward. Resources are going to be scarce, so why not use resources that is abundant?
Earlier in the interview, you said that you managed to capitalize on the coffee culture, right? And how, for some reason, there is a demand for hipster furniture, right? As you put it. So do you think that this is just a trend that may not be sustainable in the long run? Say, for example, for some weird reason, who knows, the hipster culture will sort of like fade out. Do you think that then people's interest in furniture, such as what you have produced, will then also fade out?
Yes and no. Yes, meaning that it is a phase. Like, whether we like it or not, businesses will cater to trends. So, for example, some of the clients that I've worked before in setting up, they are now closing down, even though they're quite big and have good funding. So people's tastes change. But with the wave, we managed to create a trend or a look, like industrial look is coming back again. So now this concept or theme will survive, but it might not be through coffee chain or anything. Because when I started, it was only like restaurants and cafes that are using it. But after years, a few years, it's now going to offices and houses. So people want to have this kind of option, slightly different than what they are previously exposed to. And also, it's a cheaper approach to making your place looks nicer.
Are you bothered if, say for example, the people out there who are interested in your furniture are only interested only for the design and not for the philosophy or the lifestyle that you're trying to sell?
No, I'm not concerned of that, because not everyone can appreciate what we are doing. But the idea is we want to have more people doing what I do or subscribing to the philosophy. If right now I'm trying to engage the industry to go into this industry or this line, because we know that Thailand and Indonesia are already known for this kind of thing, craft and good quality products, but they are not being known as sustainable. So we want to show them, or we want to try to carve a name, Malaysia, as country that focuses on sustainable product. So if we can leverage on the sustainable growth, we can be different than all these our neighbors. So now it's about asking them to now join us.
What's our level of eco-consciousness like, based on your observations, especially since upcycling, despite it still being new, is already being taken up by a lot of other initiatives out there?
I think Malaysian in general know, like, going green is good, but sometimes we are lacking in terms of how deep we go into the green philosophy. Currently, we know of green as being green materials or like green products. It's more of product-centric rather than the whole approach, which, like, for example, green design. In our factory, because we always have wood from different sources, so it comes in different sizes. So green design comes in where you design something based on the raw material. So you reduce the wastage and reduce work, and your approach to design is slightly different. Going deep, like, people don't see cost saving as green. Now it's more of a scattered kind of thing. So what we are trying to do is to consolidate all the ideas so it becomes more simpler. So it's not just going green, but how to do it and where to get this kind of thing. Because I think people want to buy green, but they don't know where or even how to. So our job is to make it accessible to them and getting more people selling green stuff. we need to change our approach to green rather than being a tree hugger to responsible consumption. So through our consumption, we just change the thing that we buy, we are contributing to something.
All right, like you said just now, there are many ways to adopt the green approach, and your way is through woodworking and carpentry, right? And before the interview, you told me that there is still that negative perception that people have towards woodworking and carpentry, right? So do you think that selling them the green ideas through woodworking, maybe it's one thing, but there's also still that challenge in maybe convincing them that, you know, woodworking and carpentry is still a noble profession and you can still contribute to society?
We want to see how the culture of seeing blue worker change. In Germany, they have an apprenticeship program. A lot more young people goes into the vocational field rather than the traditional degree and diploma, because there, it's seen like, in, especially in Europe, people with talents or blue collars, sometimes, I think a lot of time, earns more than the white collar. So it becomes a profession that young people want to go in. And nowadays, because of there's an appreciation for art and crafts, even in Malaysia, so we are actually now seeing pockets of crafters growing up. So I see that our culture is trying to appreciate this kind of thing. So in the future, hopefully more people will see the industry as a profitable or another way of approaching life, for example, doing their career. And it will be as profitable or as lucrative as the white collar.
Okay, so we've discussed a lot about sustainability and also woodworking. So what's the future of sustainable woodworking here in Malaysia? Do you think that we have a bright future?
Sustainable furniture is considered a sunrise industry. Traditional furniture making are considered a sunset industry. So for a sunrise industry, there's a lot of growth and potential that can be leveraged on. Because now, people are not looking into specific segment or specific item. Now it's about complementing their lifestyle. Now with the minimalism movement, with a lot of these new ways of living, as minimal and as efficient as you can, more businesses will enter the sphere. It's just a matter of time. So that's why we are advocating, like, come in now before it becomes a trend. It is a trend, but this is a trend that I don't see it as a fad, because it has so many connection to so many ideas.
All right, so for our listeners out there who are interested to find out more about your initiatives, where can they find you? We have many different initiatives, right? So maybe you can share with us your various initiatives.
Okay. So we have few brands, but for a personal brand or my main that I do a lot of advocating through is through the Haris Green Carpenter brand. So it's Haris, H-A-R-I-T-H, Green Carpenter. I'm available on Instagram and Facebook. So this is more of my personal portfolio. But for our products, we have Nocta Furniture. You can see our website and our social media, and also Dapperware. So this is for our homeware collection. So these two brands are the brands that we are currently focusing for the local and international. So do drop me a DM or Facebook message, because I'm actually looking for people who want to collaborate. We are trying to see how more people from more industry can share ideas, can grow. Because for me, it's not just carpentry or selective industry. Even industry that is considered non-green can also be green. Like, for example, the processes can be more efficient, the raw materials can be more efficient. Like, even the oil and gas company are portraying themselves as green, but they are doing a different approach. So the idea is all industry can go green, and the conversation needs to move on, and people need to talk about it, people need to experiment, people need to do collaboration. So we welcome that.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we're joined by Haris Rizwan, the green carpenter that advocates for sustainability in manufacturing furniture through upcycling. That's all we have for this week's episode of I Love KL. As usual, if you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our app via Google Play or the App Store. We're also now available on Spotify, so do check us out on that platform. And while you're at it, don't forget to follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.